Okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Inside Flicks. I'm your host, Mike, and I'm here, like always, with my brothers, Rich and Raymond. These guys are the two of the biggest movie geeks I know. And so this podcast allows us to get together and talk about our favorite, topic, which is movies. And we are not professional movie critics, which may be obvious to some, but we are definitely movie fanatics. And this week, we're going to review three films, all based on true events. Two of the films recently got some Oscar nominations. So, you know, without further ado, let's get into this. Rich, what is our first film?
The Fox News sexual harassment scandal drama Bombshell, starring Nicole Kidman, John Lithgow, and Oscar nominees Charlize Theron and Margot Robbie.
I want to convince you that I belong on air, Mr. Ailes. I think I'd be freaking phenomenal on your network.
I could pluck you out and move you to the front of the line, but I need to know that you're loyal. I need you to find a way to prove it.
I'm the bad guy.
Someone has to speak up. Someone has to get mad.
Fox News star Gretchen Carlson dropped a major bombshell today.
What is she doing?
This could kill Fox News.
We need everyone on Team Roger.
Get it on. Put it on.
These are the end times.
You do understand I have to be above this, right?
I have to be an anchor first, then a woman.
Dramatizing the true events surrounding the much-publicized workplace sexual harassment scandal that ultimately ended the career of controversial Fox News chief Roger Ailes, played by John Lithgow, Charlize Theron plays former Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who for years was subjected to Ailes' harassment. Kidman plays former Fox News morning show anchor Gretchen Carlson, who was the first woman to file a lawsuit against Ailes. Meanwhile, Robbie is playing a fictional character, a Fox News associate producer named Kayla, that was invented for the movie, but is based on an amalgam of real Fox News employees. Acclaimed filmmaker Jay Roach, of Trumbo and HBO's Game Change and Recount, directs the film, which is written by Charles Randolph, the Oscar-winning co-writer of The Big Short.
Okay, this was billed as the story of the women who brought down controversial Fox News honcho, Roger Ailes. So out of the three of these women, I think Gretchen Carlson has the better story. She was like the first woman to file a lawsuit against Ailes. She was fired, and she had faced a tremendous amount of scrutiny. And basically, and inadvertently, she helped kick off the Me Too movement. So she is like a very important figure at this time. But in the movie, Carlson is relegated to the background. Okay, so we got Margot Robbie's character, and she has a kind of a really interesting character arc here. She is a true believer, a Fox News super fan, and getting on the air is her childhood dream. And then she has this kind of like an inappropriate encounter with Roger Ailes, superbly played by John Lithgow. He's a real slime ball here. He's like a dirty old man. And because of this encounter, it affects her emotionally and like profoundly. But again, like Gretchen Carlson, Margot Robbie is playing second fiddle to Megyn Kelly in the film. So Megyn Kelly is the main focus of this film. And I really don't know why, because the other two women are far more interesting. Look, the answer is clear. Charlize Theron is not only the star, but also the producer of this film. And, you know, Theron rightfully deserves the Oscar nomination, because I think she really does a remarkable job. She gets the mannerisms and the voice down. The film presents this hero story that I didn't quite buy, because I feel that Megyn Kelly, the character, comes across as someone who is deeply calculating and career driven. So I have this sense that if Megyn Kelly thought she would, if she could advance her career by not speaking out, she would not have spoken out. I don't know if she was the, she should have been the main focus of this film. What's your thoughts, Rich?
Well, I think Charlize did do a good job, but I don't think she did a great job. The one who did a great job was Margot Robbie.
Yeah, I also think she did a remarkable job too. And I think she, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but and Nicole Kidman did just a fair job. Also, Lithgow. I didn't really, you know, the one who did Roger Ailes perfectly was Russell Crowe to me in the Showtime series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that show needs a lot more praise from than this film.
Well, let me say this. Crow got that kind of ferociousness mm-hmm. where John Lithgow was kind of more, he was the old guy. He was more of a...
He was playing more of a victim.
Yeah, well, he's playing like the dirty yeah. old man.
Right, you know? And yeah.
Where Russell Crowe was playing him a little bit younger, and he was able to get that bulldog attitude that Roger Ailes supposedly had. So, I agree that Russell Crowe was a much better portrayal.
Yeah.
But I liked John Lithgow's performance in here.
It was just decent for me. I mean, there's nothing thrilling about it to me.
Okay.
And this film, I was totally shocked that it was directed by Jay Roach, because I for sure thought it was an Adam McKay film, and because I remember hearing Big Short, and it just turned out to be the writer. But I thought their portrayals were, a little bit comical. I mean, the makeup itself, I don't even think it should have gotten nominated for makeup. That's for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, and but I don't want to trash it that much. It's a decent, film in itself, but it doesn't deserve all this accolades.
Okay, Raymond, what's your thoughts?
Well, I was really looking forward to this movie, and really also looking forward to the shows on this subject material. Before I saw this movie, I saw the Apple Plus show, The Morning Show, at least the first two episodes, because I was looking forward to that show. I was looking forward to the Russell Crowe show, but I didn't get around to seeing that one yet. But I saw the first two episodes of the Morning Show before going to see this, and I thought that show was a complete disappointment. I thought it felt rushed. I thought the tone was all over the place, and I don't know. It just felt like they were just really just trying to get the show out there as soon as possible, and not really focus on, you know, really writing a good series. And then I went to go see Bombshell, and it made me appreciate The Morning Show. I think this movie is a disaster. Really,
I don't think it's well. I don't feel it's a disaster. I think it's just more. It just feels like a really kind of okay HBO movie.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even say that. I think Jay Roach has done better than this.
Yeah, me too.
Desperately hard to be Adam McKay. And how many movies like has he made like for HBO like this past decade? Like political movies?
I think all his political. I think all his political movies have been HBO.
And in my opinion, they've all felt more confident and more efficient than this film. Like, I don't know. It felt like there was a lot of suits behind this movie, a lot of decisions that I don't know that he had no control of.
But would you agree that Megyn Kelly should not been the focus of this movie?
That's the biggest issue with the movie.
Okay.
I think Margot Robbie should have actually been the focus of the movie. I thought her character put a focus in it from her character, because her character was basically a evangelical person that looked at Fox as a, I don't know, like this, like as the greatest job in the right. world, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But she was coming at it from the way they were handling it. I thought it was, I don't know, honest or just sincere. It felt appropriate, I guess.
Let me point out that Kate McKinnon is shockingly good in this film.
Yeah,
it's a first rate performance.
Well, it's definitely her best performance. Yeah,
but it's a good performance. This is probably the first time I've seen her not doing those acting quirks that she normally does. You know, she would always kind of, you know, cock her head and have her eyes bug out, you know, to emphasize a joke or like a last line of a dialogue. You know, she has these like quirks, right? And this one, she's like acting really normal, and I found it rather like quite engrossing. And her, she's like the best side character of the film, and she's probably one of the reasons why the Margot Robbie's character is so interesting, because she's all her scenes are with Margot Robbie, and they have this really great dynamic relationship there. And I think that should have been the movie. Those two should have been the movie.
I 100% agree. That's what made the movie very interesting and made the movie a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah, and also I feel like they're trying to make fun of Fox News in a way.
I didn't feel that way at all, actually.
They were like trying to pull, they were pulling their punches though. They were trying to say, oh no, the women were.
Yeah, know, okay. I do feel that way because I actually, in a certain way, because if I didn't know exactly who they were trying to appeal to.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get. Yeah. Yeah.
They were. It seemed very confused.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys felt this way. It never felt like unbiased. It felt like there were certain things that were like kind of like sort of attacking this, but then like a sort of attack this. And yeah. Like there was never, I don't know. It just fell all over the place.
Yeah, it was uneven. But unfortunately, it came out after this movie comes out after the Charlie Rose scandal, the Les Moonves channel, and or the Matt Lauer scandal. And I think that would those movies, you know, if they ever do movies about those guys, I think it would have been much more interesting than doing, you know, Fox News, Roger Ailes, you know, because it's been done before. There's been, you know, multiple books about it. I'm at this point right now, I'm much more interested in what happened with Matt Lauer, you know what I mean? or Charlie's Rose, because there's no one's talking about those guys. It's funny because all these networks, yeah,
it's total abuse of power. That's all it is.
Yeah. But all these news networks are just, are guilty of workplace sexual harassment. And they all did cover ups for these, you know, these guys' transgressions. So they're kind of all guilty. And to point out like Fox News, you know, like I'm no fan of Fox News, but it has to be pointed out that all these guys are corrupt. you know, all these network guys are corrupt. So, again, like what Raymond was saying, it feels uneven. I don't understand why Megyn Kelly is the main focus. It should have been Margot Robbie.
Well, it's like you were saying, it's because she's the producer.
But and again, like you, both of you were saying that this does feel like a big short knockoff. You know, I think that's the biggest gripe I have. It does feel like a knockoff of Big Short, and then it's
none of the humor lands.
Yeah, so. Yeah, this is a disappointment. All right, let's grade this.
Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't think it was that big of a disappointment, but it is a disappointment. But I'll allow a B- disappointment.
Oh wow!
Whoa,
okay.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean it's okay. I mean it's just I prefer the Showtime series, but I mean it's not. I mean it's just okay to me.
It's an okay B-.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah,
you know I could go C plus if you go.
No, whatever, right. Whatever you feel like. B minus is fine.
Okay,
I was gonna give it a C, but I do like the performances in the film. I do like Charlize Theron's, and even though I couldn't relate to her character. Charlize Theron, I think she did an absolutely fantastic job. It's freaky that how close she got to Megyn Kelly. And a lot, Margot Robbie, she's another Oscar nominee, and I think she did a really good job too. But I want to point out, Kate McKinnon's the real scene stealer here. And so I it's a C, but I kind of really kind of like all the performances in the film. Raymond, your grade?
I think this is really bad. I think it's a D-.
Oh wow, you hated this movie.
Yeah, I thought it was. Really well. I the only stuff that worked for me was the Margot Robbie stuff, and she probably had the smallest storyline.
Yeah, yeah, almost as small as Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's
a small part for me. To me,
she's the important part of that.
Important part. Yeah, but it's the part small.
All right. So that was it. That's her take.
Rob Delaney was awesome.
He was okay, I guess. All right, so
he deserves more films, man. Deadpool 2 is awesome. Watch Deadpool 2 again
instead of watching this movie.
Yeah, he deserves more film work.
All right, so let's go to our second film of the day. Rich, what is it?
Oscar-winning director Clint Eastwood returns with his latest true life drama, Richard Jewell.
Mr. Jewell, I've got a few questions.
I was just doing my job.
So you have no idea who might have put that package there?
No, sir.
Did you plant a bomb in Centennial Park?
Richard, this is a capital crime here.
My son is innocent.
Do you have any case against me?
I report the facts.
You've ruined this man's life.
I didn't do this.
Clint Eastwood's latest tells the true story of Richard Jewell, a Centennial Olympic Park security guard who alerted the police after spotting a suspicious backpack that contained three pipe bombs that would eventually end up killing one person and injuring 111 attendees of the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta, Georgia. Initially hailed as a hero, Richard Jewell, played by Paul Walter Hauser from I, Tonya and Black Klansman, was eventually identified in the press as a possible suspect in the bombing, which left his reputation unjustly criticized by the public and slandered by members of the media. Oscar winner Sam Rockwell plays one of Jewell's only true friends and anti-establishment attorney, Watson Bryant, who helped Jewell fight the FBI in order to clear his name.
All right, who wants to go first?
I'll go. I like this movie, but I think there's a lot of flaws with it. I think the beginning of the film is very rushed. I think they're really just speed racing to get to the bombing, to get to the main event. And the movie basically opens up with Richard Jewell like working as a postman for the offices where Sam Rockwell's character is working. And this character, if I remember correctly, is like barely starting up when they meet up when they first meet. And then in the next scene, he's already in a completely different place. He's already they both have completely different careers. It's really just speed racing through his life to get you all these little details. But that didn't really matter too much, because I think what really made this movie special was the friendship between or the relationship between Richard Jewell and his lawyer, played by Sam Rockwell.
I agree. Rich, what's your thoughts?
I liked it a lot better than Raymond.
Really?
Yeah, I think so, because I think you were disappointed by it. You're saying you were disappointed by it, right?
No, I think it has some flaws, but I think it's a very good movie.
Well, I don't see that as many flaws as you do, because this film, to me, I think it's one of Eastwood's finest since,
Gran Torino?
Gran Torino, yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. Okay. I like the performances of Paul Walter Hauser did a great performance of Richard Jewell. And Sam Rockwell, of course, did a great job. And Kathy Bates, although I don't think she deserved an Oscar nomination, I do agree she did a great job.
She deserved it just as much as everyone else.
And Olivia Wilde, surprisingly, did also a good job. And
incredible work, Mark.
Yeah. John Hamm, he did what John Hamm does. He delivers.
I'll say that I agree with Raymond. It's a compelling biographical drama, but I do see the flaws also. I think it suffers from, and this is what I see, I think it suffers from a lack of depth and originality concerning the secondary characters in the film. Like most of, and this is a common flaw that I see in Clint Eastwood's work, his directed work. Like Eastwood tends to only cares to show multiple dimensions of the main characters, while everyone else tends to be one-dimensional characters, almost sitcom-level characters, you know? So Richard Jewell is actually a fascinating character. He's portrayed as multiple dimensions, and Sam Rockwell as his lawyer. And then, like Raymond said, that relationship is the best thing in the movie. But everything else, like the FBI agents, John Hamm and Olivia Wilde, although I agree with Rich, she does a really good job, but it is a kind of a one-dimensional character. So with that, I think this is a good, it's a good film. I don't think it's not as good as Sully, but it's somewhere around there. You know, it's not a bad film, but.
Well, you generally don't like Clint Eastwood's films, but you don't even like Mystic River. And I think that's one of his finest altogether.
I love Million Dollar Baby.
Mm. Yeah,
that's one of my favorites.
But I did like this a lot more, and I remember the events. I remember thinking that he was a great hero, and then all of a sudden they were on his ass. I mean, I remember they were naming him a suspect, and I was sort of against it. I was like with OJ's fans. I was going, "Nah, he didn't do it."
Really, even back then?
Yeah, I mean, because he was a fellow fat guy. I mean, being up on it.
This is discrimination of the fat guys.
I know. I remember. I mean, this is all because the bombing Oklahoma bombing. It was so close together. And that suspect.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I got to double check.
No, from what I remember, Richard Jewell, I remember a little bit of the news. And I remember thinking, he did it. Oh my God, that's crazy. And I remember just believing all that crap that they used to, like the media really screwed this guy over.
Oh, definitely.
I wish that the movie would have showed a little bit more
I think they did.
They showed his life was ruined. You know, they showed that his life was ruined during this months long investigation. That once it was over, the nightmare was over. But they should have really showed like this made permanent damage to his life.
Oh, definitely. And, like,
even after the investigation was done. But I mean, look, it just permanently affected his reputation. And I wanted to see that a little bit. You know, it's a good movie, but and I think the star, who was his name again? Paul
Walter Hauser.
I think he did a fantastic job.
Yeah,
he's usually known for comedies or light fares, and I think he did a fantastic. I think actually Sam Rockwell here did amazing.
Yeah, with Paul Walter Hauser, do you think Jonah Hill could have pulled that off?
No,
because this is still a Leonardo DiCaprio and Jonah Hill produced film, and they were supposed to originally star those two characters.
And no, I think it would have been a totally different movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. And it would have been. I think totally this is way better than that.
Was Clint Eastwood going to direct it also?
No, they were. I don't think there was a director attached yet. But let me finish what I was saying about Sam Rockwell. I think he did an amazing job, and he kind of like represents us, the audience. He was like the one who goes up to Richard Jewell and says, "Shut up! Stop being an idiot! You know, stand up for yourself." And I think he was so good in the movie. And then like what Raymond was saying, that relationship is really good in that film because they had like kind of this brotherly kind of relationship. You know, so there's some really good parts about this movie that I liked a lot. But you know, again, there's some parts that I didn't like. So it's
I also like the relationship though between Richard Jewell and his mother. I don't think that worked for you guys as well.
Not really. I mean. It was okay. It was interesting.
There could have been more.
It was a little bit too mama's boy for me.
But
I blame that more on the script.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
The script needed more flesh. Now it needed, like I said, they just wanted to go through all the events.
Yeah.
Hit all the beats.
All right. Let's get to the grade, Rich. What's your grade?
I'll give it an A-. Yeah, it was really good to me. I mean. I couldn't get Kenny Rogers off my head for the next day. I mean, that's how good it was. This film really stuck in my head. I mean,
all right, Fat Guys Forever. All right, Raymond, what's your grade?
B-.
Yeah, I'm with you. I give this a B- as well. I mean, it's a good movie. It's a solid movie, but there's a lot of flaws and.
But it's also still you got to admit it's probably the best movie Clint Eastwood made in the decade.
I love Sully. But it's up there with Sully. It's
second best for you.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's fine. All right, Rich. What is the last film of this episode? What is it?
The CIA torture scandal drama, The Report, starring Adam Driver.
Let me ask you a question. Why did the CIA torture people, lie about it, and then hide it from history?
After 9/11, everyone was scared. Scared it might happen again.
We need to stop attacks in the future.
And we are in whatever business it takes to get the job done.
Find out exactly what they did.
One detainee, they waterboarded him 183 times.
If it works, why do you need to do it 183 times?
Maybe when the report comes out, people will finally see that.
They claim they saved lives, but what they really did was make it impossible to prosecute a mass murderer. Because if what we did to him ever came out in the court of law, the case is over.
This question isn't about our enemies. It's about us.
Adam Driver stars as a real-life Washington staffer who was sent to investigate CIA's controversial use of enhanced interrogation techniques in the aftermath of 9/11 terrorist attacks. Annette Bening co-stars in the film. She is portraying California Senator Dianne Feinstein. Driver plays Feinstein's staffer Daniel J. Jones, who became the lead investigator and author of a 6,000-page government report that exposed CIA failed and secret torture program in post-9/11. Based on actual events, the Amazon film is produced by Steven Soderbergh and written and directed by screenwriter turned first-time feature director Scott Z. Burns, whose writing credits include The Informant, Contagion, and The Laundromat.
All right. I think this is, Rich, you go first, because I think you had a really great experience watching this film.
Yes. Experience, all right. I go fell asleep it. Three times. This movie's so boring.
How dare you?
It was torturous watching this film. The Adam Driver is the best actor working today. I mean, those lines he had to remember for this film are incredible, because they were just line after line. He was like reading the report during the whole movie. I mean, this movie is just so blasé. I mean, even Annette Bening was, just boring. And this whole movie is just, there's not one laugh in it. I mean,
right, no, well, it's not supposed to be a comedy. I
mean, this is a drama. I mean, it doesn't have to be a DMV movie. I mean,
I get it. Look, I think The Report is an important film. I think it's a solid movie, but we should warn everyone out there that your miles may vary, because it really depends on how your interest in the CIA torture scandal. And if you're not particularly curious about this subject matter, then I can almost guarantee you have exactly the same reaction that Richard has. It will probably bore you. You'll like I said, you'll have a reaction like what Rich has had, which is you get very bored by it. You get frustrated too. I think some critics who liked the movie were frustrated by it. And I think that frustration comes from the slow moving bureaucracy of the U.S. government. And there's a scene where Adam Driver, you know, his character hits a fork in the road where he has the opportunity to leak the report to the papers. And there was because there was a fear that the report was going to get buried by the government. But he says he doesn't want to leak it. He rather wants to take it to the proper channels. And that alone, we see that process is so frustrating. There's no wonder that these government staffers constantly leak stuff. You know, not only the in real life, these people leak to the media, but you could understand why these government staffer leaks this kind of stuff to organizations like Julian Assange, because the system of the government oversight is so maddening, and the movie really conveys that pull your hair type of frustration. And you know, some like Rich might interpret that as boring or dull, but I found it really compelling. I look, again, if you're not into the subject, you probably find this boring. Raymond, what's your thoughts?
Well, I went into this movie really not knowing anything about it at all. I hadn't seen any trailers for it. So basically, I just knew you told me to watch it. So I did. And when I started off, I actually wasn't that into it, because I don't know, from the first 30 minutes of the movie, it seemed like, oh, well, I already know all of this stuff. But then as the movie progressed, you know, you get a bit more information, and then you really, basically everything you were just saying, Mike, you really find out a lot of secrets and how a lot of these things are happening. Why? And it was an eye-opener of a movie. And when the movie ended, I also kind of realized that this movie, it didn't want to make a dramatization about Adam Driver's character. I think that's maybe more what Richard wanted.
Yeah.
It wanted to tell the story about this report. It's a movie about the report. Adam Driver's character, that's not important. He's just really there to get the story across. It's a movie about a report, and yeah, because of that, it is going to be a little bit boring. If you get it, if you go in with knowing what to expect, and maybe go in this kind of like if you're going to read a novel or something like that, or if you're going to read some type of article or something, it is like a visual article in a way.
It is. I think it's a really, like you said, an eye-opening thing about how the government treated the war on terror, how they kind of used this enhanced interrogation techniques. And they really, I mean, I think the thing that I got out of it was like the program itself didn't do nothing. Like, we didn't get any results whatsoever after years of doing this torture stuff. And we have no results. And it was and they covered it up, basically.
And all these all these results, like, they already knew, like, from years ago. I mean, it's crazy, really, everything that you find out in this movie. And why wasn't any of this stuff, like, ever, like KSM,
reported.
Why didn't anything happen to follow up on that?
Yeah, there was no reports on the news. Like, it was like we had to, like, watch this movie to find out the truth. And so and that's what's frustrating also. Like, we had to watch this movie, like, 5 years after the fact of this report that came out that no one really talked about it because it was really kind of buried in the news. And so, you know, again, if you're not into the subject matter, you probably...
And also, but I think also kind of like what I was saying in the beginning, when you hear about this movie, you might think, oh, I already know that story. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot more to it. There's a lot that we didn't know.
Rich, let me ask you this. What do you think of Adam Driver's performance here?
Oh, like I said, his performance was like a postal worker. He was being worked to the bone and with no outcome whatsoever. I mean, this whole movie is like a movie saying, don't ever work for Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Or just any senator. That's what I found interesting about it.
Because the torture was making this report.
Yeah, it was. In a lot of ways, I mean, come on. But yeah, in a lot of ways, it's so frustrating that because he spent like 5 years.
This was a C-SPAN of movies, man.
Yeah. Again, I think if you're not into the subject matter, don't watch it. Don't watch it at all. But if you're kind of interested in some kind of this, you know, like I compare this to like Spotlight, but I think Spotlight's much better.
Damn.
Well, I think Spotlight is a much better movie, but it has that kind
much better.
I think it has that slow burning investigative kind of drama in the, you know, so if you're into that, check it out. It's on Amazon Prime. Anyway, let's grade it. Rich, what's your grade?
D.
Wow.
That's way better than Bombshell.
Raymond, what grade?
I really like it. I think I'm going somewhere between a B plus and A minus.
Oh, wow.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's a great movie. And then, you know, I've never seen a movie about a report. I mean, that, you know, decides to completely skip all the characters and give you a fake drama. I really appreciate that about the movie.
What would you give it? A B minus or an A plus or A minus?
I'm gonna go B plus.
Okay, B plus. I give this a B.
There is
flaws in the movie, but I really kind of love the idea. I was into the subject matter, so it was something I was interested in. And Adam Driver does a decent performance, a really good performance.
That's why I didn't give an F.
Take it easy, pal. All right. So that was it. That was let's recap. Let's recap. Bombshell. Do we all recommend that? No.
No, I don't recommend that at all.
I recommend. Richard recommends, but you don't recommend. Raymond.
Yes.
But we all recommend Richard Jewell.
Yeah, definitely.
Those two films are currently playing in theaters. I think both of them are coming out in Blu-ray and DVD soon. The Report, me and Raymond recommends, but Rich says stay away.
Unless you want to go sleep.
And so that's currently playing or currently streaming on Amazon Prime. Let's end this with Rich. Where can they find us, the people?
The people can find us on Apple iTunes. The people can find us on Spotify. The people can find us on iHeartRadio. And every place where you can find podcasts, basically.
Yes.
Look, and you will find us. InsideFlix.com is a good start.
We'll be back with another episode, probably another couple. Are we done with Oscar nomination films? We're definitely going to do an Oscar special episode, and we're coming up with our best of the decade and best of the year. We're a little late we're a little late to the game for that one, but we're definitely coming up with those episodes in the future, in the near future. So keep listening. We'll be back with another great episode, another great discussion. Thank you for listening. This is Inside Flicks. Bye-bye.